So welcome, yeah, everybody. Thanks, band. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. It's exciting. Just shake somebody next to you and just tell them, are you ready? Because you know what? I don't think we're really ready, people. We say that in a little bit of jest, but friends, we're not quite ready. But you know what? God is gracious with us. God is preparing us. Last week I talked about following Christ, part one, the cost. There's a huge cost to following Christ. If you didn't get the sermon, please download it. It is available on our website. So I'm not going to talk about that tonight. You can catch up if you didn't get it. But tonight I want to continue with this thing of following Christ. It's just so awesome what God is doing. And as we yield more to Him, He just does amazing things. And tonight I want to ask you a question to start off with. I want to ask you, well, I want you to think back to a time when you were given maybe a huge task. Like maybe if you're a student and your lecturer gave you this massive task to do, or you're a working person and your boss gave you this task to do, and you sort of stood there and you thought, but this task looks so impossible for me. It looks like, how am I going to do this? And so you sort of wonder, must you phone a friend? Must you phone a couple of friends? Must you run to the internet? Must you say, Google, Google, please help me. Please help me. I don't know what to do. Don't know where to start. Must I do research? How am I going to finish this task? Don't know if any of you have been at that place where you're sort of so nervous and you get this almost fear that comes upon you. How are you going to finish this? But you know you've got to do this, and it's just so important because you've got to get a degree, or you've got to, you know, carry on with what you're supposed to do, and you have to finish this task. And it's the same with us in the kingdom of God. You know, God gives us this incredible task of making disciples of all nations. This amazing task where you wonder, are you going to be able to do this? And how are you going to be able to do this? But you know it's in the Word. The Word says that we're supposed to make disciples of all nations. We're supposed to change the world as Christians. And then you read in John 14 verse 12, and Jesus there talks about, but you know, greater things than I did will you do. Talking to His disciples, and you read the scripture and you start to think, but how is this all possible? Jesus, you did such awesome stuff, and how am I going to do greater works than you, Jesus? I mean, this just seems like this task where you're nervous and you want to phone a couple of friends and say, help, how am I going to do this? So I just want you to hold on to that thought tonight. Because yeah, in Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 13, it says the following. It says, for my people have committed two evils. Jeremiah writing to the people of Israel, the Spirit of God speaking here through the prophet Jeremiah and saying, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have committed two evils. First of all, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Secondly, in doing that, they have hewn themselves cisterns. A cistern is simply something that holds water. But you know what? These cisterns are broken. They cannot hold any water. And when I saw the scripture, it was amazing. You know, it's one of those moments where you're reading the Bible and it's like a Holy Spirit moment, because you don't know why you see the scripture and you start to see it and you just realize this is a moment. God wants to say something to me in the scripture. And I realized this was something for us as God's people specifically, because we tend to do this. We forsake the fountain of living waters. We tend to forsake God. And then what happens in forsaking Him, we start to build our own kingdoms. We start to hewn our own cisterns together. We try to get this thing together that can hold water. We know we're desperate for water. We need the fountain of living water. We need it. And what do? We start to build our own fountains, build our own containers to hold water. And you know what? It's all broken because we've forsaken the living waters. And I believe God wants to say that to us tonight. And I've got an encouraging word for you. So I know this is a tough word to swallow, but we have to be honest with ourselves. We have committed the same evil, just like the people of Israel. We have forsaken the fountain of living waters. And I want to tell you about a vision that we saw in intercession a couple of weeks ago, which I really believe is for all of us as a church, specifically us as Shofar Bloemfontein. So if you really want to follow the Lord here, hold on to your chair. Listen to what the Word of the Lord is saying. I believe it's really powerful for us tonight. If we get this, we're going to be set free. And I'll share the vision at the end. But It was in this, in that vision that we got in intercession, a couple of people confirmed it, that I found the scripture. And then I went to another scripture. This is all part of my introduction. John chapter 7. Jesus talking to his, not to his disciples, he was actually talking to a lot of people at the feast up in Jerusalem. And he said the following. He said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." And look at verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. What was Jesus talking about here? You see, yeah, he was starting to make the people hungry and thirsty for who he really was. He didn't say everything there. He just sort of left it out there. That I am going to give you fountains of living waters, rivers of living waters. And he didn't say anything much further. He actually just stopped there, and John actually clarifies, and the writer John says, but Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit. You see, he makes the people inquisitive, and he only explains to the disciples in chapter 14 of John. If you read the book of John, only in chapter 14 to chapter 16, which we'll get to tonight, does Jesus start to clarify this whole thing about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You see, I believe this is the key to following Christ. When it talks about following Christ, and the title of my sermon is The Partnership. When it talks about following Christ, when we need to understand what does it mean to follow Christ, how do we really follow Christ? This is one of the keys. And this year, Fred's vision for this year is that God starts to give us keys. You know, we've come of age. We're 21 years old as a movement, Shofar. So it's time, like when you're 21, you get the key. You know, that you're an adult now, you can take responsibility for your life. So I believe what's on Fred's heart is that we must receive some keys, the keys of David specifically. And it just talks about a lot of keys, but it talks about the keys of the kingdom. And I believe this is one of the keys to following Christ and to changing the world. So that's just my introduction to tonight. I just want to leave that with you, and I'll clarify about the vision at the end. But you see, let's look at John chapter 16, because this is where Jesus starts to tell his disciples that he's having to go away. And imagine you've had this friend that's been walking with you, and he suddenly says to you after 3 years, "Listen here, I've got to go away." Imagine the bond that was built between the disciples and Jesus. I mean, how sad they must have been, and how, you know, they were shocked in a way. "Jesus, but you, surely after 3 years of walking with us, how can you just leave? You're only 33 years old. I mean, you've got a lifetime ahead of you. How can you be going away?" And he knew their emotional hearts, and he knew that they were just people, and so he wasn't too hard on them. But he said to them the following. He said to them, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." Now, I don't know if you've read the scriptures where you see this thing, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." A couple of times Jesus says it. But, you know, if you think about it, isn't all the word truth? Isn't everything that Jesus says truth? So why doesn't he say that in front of every sentence? Have you thought about that before? Why doesn't he say, "Okay, what I'm going to say now is truth"? He doesn't. But he does do it at a few places. Why do you think that is? I think it's because it's very, very important. He's telling the disciples, "Listen here, if you get this, this is a key." It's quite important if I am saying to you that it's the truth. Because I know, you know, everything I say is the truth. But when I emphasize the fact that it is the truth, I'm telling you the truth now. Then it's sort of this moment where you need to look up and say, "Okay, I need to take notes here. Where's my notebook? Where's my pen? I need to write stuff down. Jesus is speaking." He says the following. He says, "Listen here, friends, disciples. I need to go away. It's to your advantage. I know you're emotionally broken now and you can't understand why I have to go, but it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Friends, we need a helper. Guys, we need a helper. Okay, some guys are going to get excited about marriage one of these days. "I'm married. It's awesome. I've got the greatest helper. She just does everything. I just sit back and life carries on. She does everything. It's awesome to have a wife." Not quite. It doesn't work like that. But she's an amazing helper. That's why God created marriage. We're supposed to have a helper. Guys, some of you will start to pursue the girls, okay, because maybe you're not excited about marriage yet. I'm only joking. Some of you are going to be married soon. Awesome. But you know what? We all as Christians, we need a helper. We cannot go through this life without the help of someone so much greater than we are. Jesus said, I've got to go away. I'm going to send you a helper. And so we know he's talking here about the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And then he starts to clarify the following. He says, and when he has come, he will do the following. And this is what I want to look at this evening. What has the Holy Spirit come to do? How are we to relate to the Holy Spirit when we really understand who he is and what he has come to do? When he has come, Jesus said, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So he says three things. First of all, the Holy Spirit is going to come to convict the world of three things: of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. So he says, yeah, the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world that they do not believe, the sin of unbelief. Secondly, he has come to convict the world of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The Holy Spirit has come to say to the world that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. He is going to the Father, therefore he is your connection to the Father. He is the way. He is the righteousness. And lastly, the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of judgment. There's a heaven and a hell. The ruler of this world is judged. Satan has still got authority on this earth, but he's judged. He's still going around like a roaring lion, but you know what? His day is going to come to an end soon. There's a heaven and a hell. There's a reality. And so what does this say to us as believers today? If he told the disciples this is what the Holy Spirit has come to do, what does that mean for us? It means for us simply that we do not have to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Do you see that? It's logical. We're all the left brainers here. If the Holy Spirit has come to do this, does that mean we have to do it? No. We don't have to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's his job. Isn't that a bit freeing? Because this great task that we have to do, what do? We try to convict every person. We try to convict people. We try to judge people and tell them you're going to die in your sin. And yes, we have to preach the gospel. I'm not saying we don't have to do that at all. But I'm saying let's understand what the Holy Spirit's role in this whole thing is. So what does this encourage me to do? I don't know about you, but this encourages me to pray for my city, for my campus, for my family. Because wow, the Holy Spirit is such a gentleman. The Holy Spirit will not force himself upon anyone. The Holy Spirit will not just come to a city and inhabit the city. So we as the believers need to stand up and pray that the Spirit comes back to convict the Bloemfontein of its sin and of a coming judgment and the fact that Jesus is the righteousness of God. We need to pray for the campus that the fear of God comes back on the campus. We don't have to do this. This is the Holy Spirit's work. But the Holy Spirit is such a gentleman, and when he's not invited, he will not come. Are we going to invite the Holy Spirit to come into our reses, into our campuses, into our classrooms, into our workplaces, so that he can do what he's come to do? And that's what I see in this. But I don't see my job as anything else in terms of convicting the world. The Holy Spirit has come to convict the world. This gets exciting, people, when we start to understand his role. 1 John 5, from 6 to 8, says the following. This is he who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. Talking there about his baptism and his resurrection. And it says the following, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And then John goes on to clarify this. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Some translations actually don't include that verse. And they emphasize the following verse. They just include this verse. And they say, and there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Do you see that? There's a common denominator in both of them. The witness in heaven is the Holy Spirit. The witness on earth is the Holy Spirit. The only common denominator there is. Because why? Jesus is not here anymore. He's gone to heaven. And you see, for these disciples, it was challenging because they knew him and he had to leave them. He had to go away from them. But for us, born 2,000 years after Jesus, we never saw Jesus in person. So guess what? Jesus was never here on earth since we've been around. But who has been here? The Holy Spirit of God has been here. This is revelation for me, you see, because sometimes we can't relate to Jesus and he isn't here, so we can't relate to him. But how do we relate to him? We relate to him through the Spirit, because there's a witness on earth There's a witness of his blood that he's died. He's risen from the dead. There's a witness of his baptism, the water. But it's all witnessed powerfully by the Holy Spirit. And I was looking at this scripture and I was thinking, but Lord, what about the Word? We've got the Bible. The physical Word is here. Isn't it a witness? Surely then the Word must be a witness on heaven, I mean on earth as well, not only in heaven. And then the Lord said, no, that Word is Spirit inspired. The Word that you see, your black and white Bible, that is Holy Spirit. Because those words, the Spirit was inspiring the people to write those words. And that's why the Word in heaven talks here about Jesus. The Father, the Word with a capital W, that's Jesus. He's in heaven and the Spirit. But on earth, we've got the Spirit to witness. And that is why, you know, I don't know about you, but when I first met the Holy Spirit and I became Spirit-filled, the Word suddenly became alive to me. Before that, you know, I was a Christian and I was going to heaven and I was fine. But when I started to read the Scriptures after I got Spirit-filled and empowered by the Spirit, I just read different things. I saw a whole new world opened up to me. Before that, it was like the Bible was just this book, and yes, I'm going to heaven and I'm a sinful person, and you know, but you read it like a bit of an engineer. You know, you box it in, this means that, and you logically try to figure things out, and then you're sort of okay with yourself because it makes sense to my brain. You know, to my natural brain. But when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, stuff started to come alive to me. The Word became alive. It's that witness of the Holy Spirit that's here on earth to witness to us the Word of God, to witness the power of God. And I don't know if you've been to a baptism. Some of who got baptized on Friday, just raise your hands quickly. We're so excited for you guys. I can see the smiles on the faces because it was a witness. The water witnesses today. Baptism is still a witness today. Can I have at least 5 amens? Your own baptism was a witness to many people. Whether it was one person there and they were a believer, that's fine. It was a witness to them, a reminder to them again that this is powerful. Jesus is here. The Spirit is here. That's why we need to invite unbelievers to baptisms, because they need to witness that Jesus is alive. He's real. He's working. He's awesome. So go to a baptism. When we have a baptism again, be there. Don't miss it. And see how there's still a witness today on earth, the water. The waters of baptism. But you see, my point is today that the Spirit has come to convict the world. So we don't have to convict the world. The Spirit is a witness today. Isn't that awesome? Then he goes on. Jesus carries on here and he tells the disciples the following. He says, listen, I still have many things to say to you. But you know what? You cannot bear them now. You cannot understand them now. So you know what? I'm actually going to waste my time trying to explain everything to you. Now I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth. And when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Jesus tells the disciples, you need truth for daily living. You need not only truth for the future. I'm going to give you that as well. I'm going to tell you things to come. But you need truth for daily living. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and guide you into all truth and show you how to live the life that I've called you to live. See, we as believers today need the Spirit to guide us and to lead us into all truth. Why? Because we just don't have a clue. We can't understand everything. We need a power outside of ourselves. Our brains, our minds just cannot fathom this whole thing of the kingdom. And how are we going to change the world? How are we going to do this task that we have to do? The Spirit comes to reveal the truth. Listen to this. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I believe this is a word for someone tonight, because you're under condemnation. But the Holy Spirit wants to fill you tonight and remind you again that there is no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. But you know what I found when I read the scripture? I realized some translations actually don't have that part that says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. They just say, the translation simply says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Full stop. That's what it says. But you know, if you read this without the Spirit, if you read this where the Spirit has not revealed this truth to you, you will still feel condemned. You're always feeling condemned because you're trying to read it without the Spirit. And so it doesn't need there to say, you do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because if you walk according to the Spirit and you live, then it doesn't need to say that. But awesome, the New King James Version confirms it and says, listen here, you won't understand this unless you do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has come to reveal that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are born again. But what it's trying to say is you need to understand the fullness of the Spirit. The Spirit must reveal this truth to you. Otherwise, it's just black and white. Scriptures are just so full of life. Don't you agree? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So many of us have grown up under this law. We've got to fulfill these certain requirements and then we'll make it. How many of us grow up in these traditional backgrounds where we're never going to be good enough. We have to live up to the certain standard and it's just so difficult and you realize it's impossible. Because you're trying to do it in your own flesh. And it says the Spirit of life has set me free. The Spirit of life who came to raise Christ from the dead has set me free from the law of sin and death. Because the law's purpose was not to save us. The law's purpose was to tell us that we're not going to make it. We need a Jesus and we need His Spirit. And yeah, the Romans, Paul writes and he says, Spirit of life in you, through Christ Jesus, has set you free. There's a new law at work in our lives. I want to say that to somebody tonight. There's a new law at work in your life. Turn to someone next to you and say, there is a new law in your life. Listen to chapter 4, verse 14. It says the following, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Say, led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. So what does that mean? When I see the word led, that means, doesn't mean it's a heavy iron or some kind of a lead sinker that you throw down there. It means you are led. You follow someone. There's a leader and there's a follower. Okay. Someone has got a lead and someone is following. So who's leading in this equation and who's following? I want to ask you, are you following the Spirit of God? Because then you will know that you're a son of God. If you're led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. It will be confirmed in your life by the Holy Spirit that you're a son of God. Someone's going to get excited in you tonight. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. See, this is also another truth that the Spirit wants to tell us, that if we are led by Him, if we yield to Him, if we allow Him to lead us and guide us, life starts to happen. We're no longer under the bondage again to fear. Galatians 5. We're still talking here about the Spirit revealing the truth to us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. No law can prevent that from happening. If you are led by the Spirit of God, if you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be joy in your life. There's going to be love. Doesn't the world out there need so much love? But not an emotional love like, ooh, I love you now and I love you not and I love you maybe and this time I won't love you and now I'll love you. Sort of, we're not sure, do we love the person or not? It's a love, it's a sacrificial love. It's a fruit of the Spirit, the love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross for us, laying down our lives. It's a joy. He brings a joy in our lives. Sometimes, as Tian said earlier, you know, let's enjoy what God is doing in our lives. Let's enjoy God. Because sometimes it's so heavy and, oh, we've got to do all this stuff. And, sure, Christianity is so tough, you know. What testimony is that to the world? Who's going to get saved? Oh, I've got these burdens to carry. Yes, there's a yoke and a burden of Christ. But you know what? I said last week, I'm going to tell you what that burden is. And it's simply to understand that the Spirit is going to carry that burden for us. The Spirit is going to yoke with us. And there's going to be a joy in your life. And yes, life is not going to be easy. There's going to be challenges. Your sickness and your injury that you have to go through, or the challenges of life, it's not just going to go away sometimes. Jesus is a miracle working God. Yes, He can heal you and He can do everything. But is your joy, where is your joy being tested when you go through the fiery trial, when you go through the challenge? Is your joy still full? Do you have the full joy of the Spirit? If you don't, you realize you need the fruit of the Spirit. What about long suffering? You know, we've got this amazing babysitter. She looks after Caitlin now, and she looked after Matthew until he went to school every day. And she's just, sometimes with Matthew now, when he got older, he got very difficult and woolig, and he doesn't want you to change his nappy, and he's, you know, and she just had this, we like lose it sometimes. We like start to shout at him, and you know, just come right, stay in your room, and when you're right, we'll change your nappy, or we'll do stuff for you, because you're so difficult now. And so we lose it a bit at times, but this nanny of ours is just so long suffering, so patient with him. Maybe she doesn't discipline him enough and stuff, and it's fine, you know, but she I just look at this woman and she's a spirit-filled Christian. She's really a child of God and she's going to get lots of rewards in heaven for what she does because she's just a blessing. But I see that this fruit in her life. I see there's this patience. This long-suffering. It doesn't matter what the challenges are, she will just do it and be faithful to God. But are we patient in our lives many times? Kindness. The Bible says that, you know, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. The kindness. Are we kind to people out there? That's going to lead people to repentance when we demonstrate God's goodness and God's kindness. Faithfulness. Staying faithful despite your challenges, despite your emotions. Gentleness, self-control. Each of those is a sermon on its own. But you see, what I want to say tonight is when the Spirit starts to empower us and starts to manifest Himself in the truth in our lives, then we grow fruit, we bear fruit. You say, have you ever seen like an apple just appearing from somewhere? You throw a seed into the air and there's an apple, or just cut up a watermelon, chuck it out, and then maybe a tree will grow or the watermelons will come. Maybe it will. But you know what? Fruit doesn't just happen. Fruit is grown. Fruit comes from being connected to a branch, which is connected to a tree, which is connected to the root, and has water and all the nutrients, and there fruit grows, a tree grows and fruit happens. So the same with us, fruit is grown through connection with the Holy Spirit. We need to be connected. So what am I talking about here tonight? Simple, a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need a relationship. This fruit is not just going to happen. You need to be connected to the Holy Spirit to bear this fruit. It's His fruit. And what's exciting is each and every one of these fruits, when they start to grow in our lives, they're going to just bear more fruit. Because the more faithful you are, you just become more faithful. And the more joy you have, you just become more joyful. It's a cycle. It bears fruit and people see it. And people start to grasp it. You know, if Tien is excited about the worship here tonight, you know what? We all get excited about the worship because he's loving it. The whole band is loving it. So this fruit, it's just the multiplication principle. When people see that in your life, and you can testify of it, I'm sure. Lots of things where people have asked you, I remember when I was starting to work and I was just filled with the Holy Spirit and I started to really experience a passion for God, and every day I used to go to work looking for opportunities to pray and just to testify. But I just carried on with my work. I did my work excellently and I was sitting there and the one guy comes to me, I heard him telling another guy, he says, yes, this Alistair guy, he's never down. He's always like excited about the day, and he wasn't at all a believer. He was a professed atheist. He said he didn't believe in God and anything, but he just told this other guy, and this other guy told me often, said, oh, this guy Monet, he just says, something's different about you. And it was just amazing for me to hear that my life means something when I'm filled with the Spirit and I've got a joy in me. I'm excited about every day. People do see it. Fruit happens. But are we prepared to allow the Spirit to reveal this truth and to establish this truth in our lives? Last one on this point. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Jesus said to His disciples that the Spirit will come and tell you things to come. The Spirit's going to reveal the secrets of God to you. You know, there's so much uncertainty about the future, and I believe the times that we're going into, we're going to need the Spirit to guide us. If we're just guided by the media or by our emotions or by what we see on the TV, we're going to miss God. Because it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. What God wants to do in us is a spiritual thing. He wants to show us things to come. He wants to reveal to us the signs of the times. And yes, we must look at the natural signs, but if we're just going to look at that, it says, eye has not seen. We cannot comprehend with our natural minds and our eyes and our hearts. We need the Spirit to reveal these things to us because He searches the things of God. So are you living in the natural? Are you walking by sight or are you walking by faith, by the Spirit in your life? Then Jesus carries on and He says the following. He says, He will glorify me, verse 14. He, the Spirit of truth, will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Have you ever read Genesis 1? What happens when God declares something? When God says something, it happens. Where there's darkness and God says, let there be light, there's immediately light. There's no place for darkness. Where God says, you are free, then you are free. There's no place for darkness in your life. When God says something, it is done. So He says, yeah, the Spirit will declare it to you. Whatever is mine, He will declare it to you. all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Jesus understood the fact that he was part of a Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit. And this was the job of the Spirit. To tell and empower the followers of Christ. To tell Christians and to empower them. And you see, why do we need to be empowered? And I'm going to talk about this next week. So come again next week, Sunday evening. I'm not going to be on Sunday morning. We're going to plant it. So we're going to have to decide what's going to happen with the morning service. There will still be church, especially Kiddies Church, because our Kiddies Church is awesome at the moment. But tomorrow evening, I mean next Sunday evening, come and we're going to talk about this whole thing of being empowered. So I'm just going to end off with this tonight. Because tonight I want to talk to us about a relationship with the Holy Spirit before we talk about the gifts. But you see, yeah, it says in Isaiah chapter 11, my last scripture, before I just share the vision that we received in intercession. This is Isaiah writing here about the Messiah that was to come. And he was saying to, writing to the people and saying to the following, there shall come forth, talking about Jesus, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And it says the following, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Isaiah's prophecy about how Jesus was going to live a life. He was going to live a life empowered by the Spirit. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So how much more, you know, if the Spirit of the Lord was resting upon Jesus, how much more don't we need the empowerment of the Spirit? It says here, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Six things. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Six things that we need to understand. When we need this, we need wisdom. The Holy Spirit brings wisdom in our lives. The Spirit is not just a spooky, funny, goosebump feeling. The Spirit brings wisdom. Read the book of Proverbs. It's full of the Holy Spirit talking about wisdom. Wisdom was there from the beginning. The Spirit was there from the beginning. Talks about understanding. We need understanding as Christians because we look at things and we just look with the natural minds. We don't always understand what God is doing. So when we look at someone, we just judge them by the outward appearance. But we don't understand what is God saying about this person. We need the Spirit to show us understanding. And even in the stuff that we do, God wants to reveal awesome stuff. In your studies, He wants to give you supernatural understanding. I remember a testimony last year of Francois, one of our medical students. I was visiting a small group there in William's small group. And he just told me about how the Lord used him. You know, there was this patient or there's this challenge and no one knew what to do. And Francois just experienced the God saying to him that this is the answer. And he just told the people, this is what we must do now. And everyone was like, yo, where does that come from? How do you know that? We're all in class together. We all know the same things and no one else knew. And he just felt this is what he must do. And he testified afterwards and said it was just God showing him. And the people were amazed. Because it wasn't natural understanding. It was supernatural understanding. God gave him understanding and wisdom there in that situation. Counsel, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, strength, knowledge, supernatural knowledge. And then lastly, the fear of the Lord. This was the fullness of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. Don't we so much more need even more of this fullness as the people of God? But the last one is important because you see, I believe sometimes we come a bit casual with God and the Spirit wants to give, like He did tonight, just bring a fear of God in our lives again. That we reverence God, that we worship Him in holiness, in the beauty of His holiness. And then it carries on and says His delight, Jesus' delight was in the fear of the Lord. He did nothing other than what His Father said. He was so focused, so full of the Spirit that His delight was in fearing God and not man. That's why He didn't have a sock with what people thought about Him. He didn't worry about what people said. He told the Pharisees, you know, I'm doing my Father's business. My food is to do the will of my Father. I'm focused on Him. I have the fear of the Lord in me, and you better get the fear of the Lord, otherwise there's a judgment coming to you. And He did not judge by the sight of His eyes, nor decide by the hearing of His ears. A friend of mine once preached a sermon with this title, Seeing Without Eyes, Hearing Without Ears. That was the title of his sermon. I was like intrigued by this, and I went to look at a scripture, and it was this scripture that he used. Seeing without eyes, hearing without ears. That is how we're supposed to walk through life as Christians. But you see, we can only do it by the Spirit of God. So you see, tonight we're going to take communion. I want the band just to come forward now. I just want to share the vision that the Lord showed us from intercession. And I believe it's so profound for us. I really believe God wants you to hear the heart now this evening. And just to respond to what He wants to do in your life. Because the Lord showed us, first of all, a vision of, I just saw this wall with cracks in it. With like a dryness. You know, when paint becomes all dry and it starts to crack. And just after that, someone else shared a vision that there was this riverbed of, there was this dryness. And we just prayed, and it was like this, where, you know, where you see the riverbeds and there's the clay is actually cracked, and you can see it makes quite nice patterns, but you know, it looks like it's barren, it's dry, there's no water flowing. And that is what brought me to these two scriptures about where Jeremiah says, my people have forsaken me, the rivers of living water. And then I realized, but Jesus said the same thing, come to me, I will give you rivers of living water, I will give you of my spirit. So I believe some of us are dry here tonight. You're dry in terms of your calling with God, and walking with Jesus is such a burden. It's following Christ is, it's not lekker anymore. And there's this huge will to be saved, and you feel this burden of this task ahead of you that you've got to do, but you don't know how you're going to do it. And you almost want to give up. And Jesus wants to tell you tonight, He's given you everything. He's given you His Spirit. I want to read the scripture. I was just going to talk about it. But I just want to read the scripture that was prophesied in Joel. The prophet Joel. He said, talked about the end times. And it's confirmed in Acts chapter 2 verse 17 as well. Where Peter preaches his first sermon. But I'll read it from Joel because this is the Old Testament. This is the first time it was written. Joel said the following, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." In other words, doesn't that speak about the whole world? The spirit is going to be poured out on everyone. It talks about Pentecost. There's an availability for everyone to receive the spirit after Pentecost. And that's why when Peter used this, he actually said, right now it's being fulfilled. We are being filled with the spirit, and we're not drunk with wine. We're actually prophesying. We're fulfilling what Joel said. He said the following, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And on your maidservants and on my men servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And then he goes on to say, "I'm going to show signs and wonders in the earth." It's going to be incredible. But you see, the Holy Spirit has been poured out after Pentecost, after Acts chapter 2. If you read that, after the Spirit came, then what happened there? Everyone, there's a freedom for the Spirit. Everyone can receive the Spirit who believes in Jesus because it's His Spirit. But when I saw this, it's poured out on all flesh. That talks about that the Spirit wants to convict the world. The Spirit has been poured out. So the Spirit is here above Bloemfontein. And not everyone has received the Spirit. But it's here to convict the world. But for us as believers, it says here, you will prophesy. You will dream dreams. There will be amazing stuff. Signs and wonders will happen. And then at the end of that, it said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that amazing? It gives an opportunity for everyone because the Holy Spirit is so powerful. So whoever responds will be saved. But you see, for us as children of God, we are supposed to receive the fullness of the Spirit. We cannot walk this walk of faith without the partnership of the Holy Spirit. He's our senior partner. So we're going to sing a song now, and then we're going to take communion afterwards. But before we take communion, before we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus tonight, I want us first to respond to what God wants to do. Because I believe there are people tonight, first-time receivers. So in conclusion, I want you to respond. If you're a first-time, if you haven't ever received the Holy Spirit, all that you've got to do tonight is simply ask someone to pray with you. You first have to ask the Father, like Luke 11 says, if the Father promises a gift, He's not going to give you something weird. He's not going to give you something that you can't handle. He's going to give you the Spirit, and He's so much greater than you. You actually can't handle Him. But you know what? It's not this weird thing. It's just a relationship with Him, the Holy Spirit. So the Father wants to give it to you. So all you need to do is ask. Secondly, you just need to ask Jesus to baptize you. Because John the Baptist said that there's going to come a greater one than I. And He's going to baptize you not with water. He's going to baptize you with the Spirit. And with fire. So we need to ask Jesus just to baptize us. And then, like in Acts chapter 8, the people simply just received the Holy Spirit. There was a laying on of hands. That's why you need to come forward and just get someone who's filled with the Spirit just to lay hands on you, but you will receive it. You can, if you believe that you want to receive it, you can receive it. Just say, "Thank you, Jesus, for giving me my Spirit. I receive the Holy Spirit now." So that's for the first group of people. And then I believe there's a second group of people that you've already been filled with the Spirit. But I believe that you need to just repent of ignoring or grieving or quenching. However, there's lots of funny words. But you have simply ignored the Spirit. You have simply neglected and taken the Spirit just for granted in your life. And you're not walking in the Spirit. And that's why you're dry. So all you need to do is just to yield to the Spirit again. Just repent and say, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry for ignoring you in my life. I realize you are the power unto salvation. You're the power for me to live this life. You are going to fulfill my salvation. You're going to bring sanctification and ultimately glorification in my life. Because why? Jesus is not here anymore. So you need to relate to Him through the Spirit of God. You need to have a full relationship with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what the gospel's about. That's what Paul understood. So I believe the Lord just wants you to respond tonight. So we're just going to sing this song. The last song that we sang so beautifully tonight again about the cross of Christ. But then I want you just to respond. If you maybe for the first time you want to come forward, then I want you to stand on my left, just over here. If you're responding for the first time to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and if you just want to yield to the Spirit again, I just want you to come and stand on the right here and just yield to the Spirit of God again. I believe some people, you're really desiring to be touched, and you're trying in your own strength, and the Lord just wants to touch you tonight, especially those who have already been filled. Because the Word says we must continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must continually be empowered. And then you're going to have abundant life, like Jesus said that we can have.